Hello again and welcome to Reality Check. I'm Jeannie Allen. Today, our remarkable guest is Steve Klinsky. Steve is the founder and CEO of the Modern States Education Alliance, a new nonprofit dedicated to helping students overcome the prohibitively high cost of college. You all know about that, by offering free online courses leading to College Board exams and real credit. I've had the pleasure of working alongside Steve in the early days when he was getting this running, and it's not unusual for someone who actually by day is in the finance world to have been engaged in such an amazing effort, and he'll tell you why in a few minutes. But Steve's been an active philanthropist for years, an education reformer. He founded the Gary Klinsky Children's Center's after-school program in 1993. In 1999, this is fascinating for my friends out there who love charter schools, he wrote the application for and organized the first charter school in the state of New York, the Sisulu Walker Charter School of Harlem, in partnership with the late Dr. Wyatt T. Walker. He helped start, organize, and fund numerous high-performing charter schools since then. And Steve also recently succeeded Jeb Bush as the chairman of the advisory board of the Harvard Program for Education Policy and Governance. Steve, there's so much more to your lengthy academic professional bio. We will have it on our website for people who want to check it. But thank you so much for coming over to Reality Check.
Well, thanks, Jeannie. Thanks for having me here.
I am super excited also today because as I was preparing for this podcast, I realized that Modern States Education Alliance made it onto Squawk Box on CNBC. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we had a good speaker. Jeb Bush was on Squawk Box today, and he's a big fan of the program. He and I just wrote an editorial about it that ran on Real Clear Policy and Real Clear Politics this week. And so he was talking about the Modern States idea on Squawk Box today.
And so tell us what the Modern States Education Alliance is intended to be. Why is it so fascinating to people from all over the world now?
Yeah, Modern States is a philanthropy that's intended to make college more affordable for anyone who wants to go to college. And I think everyone knows how expensive college has gotten. There's $1.4 trillion of student debt outstanding today. The cost keeps going up. And so the idea was, you know, if Abraham Lincoln is reincarnated today and has the ambition and the drive but not the money, how can you help someone get into and finish college? So what we've done, and you were with me as one of the team in the early days, and it's evolved over the years, is we've actually spent years creating a full set of top quality online college courses from some of the best professors in the country. We've put them online where they're available to anyone in the world for free. If you go to our website, modernstates.org, it looks like Netflix, but it's all college courses, online college courses. And you can anyone can sign up for any one of those courses. They're free. The textbooks are free online. The practice questions are free. And not only do you learn the material, but we also make sure you learn what's on an examination called the CLEP exam from College Board that's been around for 50 years. And we pay your test fee for the first 10,000 people to College Board. If you take our courses, learn it, and pass the exam, and then go to Michigan State or Ohio State or Purdue, they will give you credit for having finished that course if you've passed that exam. So you're that much closer to graduation, and you've done it all for free with us.
Okay, so I bet you a lot of people are going, wait, this is too good to be true. You're telling me I can, my kids, anyone, I can go back, I can take courses, I can get my freshman year for free. Why? Why are you doing this?
Well, I'm just doing it. You know, I've been involved in education philanthropy for a long time, as you've said. And, you know, it's such a clearly obvious idea of way to help people where once we create these courses, you know, it took us 3 years to create the courses, but once they're done, it's like creating 30 or 40 different movies. Once they're done and they're online, anyone in the world can use them and it doesn't cost anymore. So we've paid for the courses, we've paid for the website. The only extra cost is essentially the $85 that the College Board charges to take the exam. And that compares to $1,000 or $2,000 for a normal course. Mm-hmm. And we're paying the $85 ourselves for the first 10,000 people. And hopefully others will help pay beyond that. But in any case, it's far, far cheaper. And it's just such an obvious thing to do that I thought it was a worthwhile thing to do.
And the interest that you have for this, obviously sparked by lots of experiences. But you were looking at MOOCs at one point. And you were going, okay, wait, they're free, but you can't get credit.
Well, that's exactly right. So, I mean, the basic impulse for all this is that education is kind of fundamental to a fully realized life. And if you have respect for every individual in the world, the access to education is fundamental to letting people, you know, just reach their full potential. So that's it's not to have an educated workforce or something. It's just the fundamental right to be educated. And I actually started writing about this issue back in 2012. And, you know, online courses, online college courses for credit have been around for over 20 years. 5 million people take online college courses for credit. About 30% of all college students are online today. But the computer course is just as expensive as sitting in the classroom physically. It's just the way the system has always worked. And back in 2012, some of the very best universities like MIT and Stanford started to give their best courses away for free as what's called a MOOC, a massively open online course that anyone could take. Mm-hmm. But the problem was you couldn't get any credit. You get kind of a pat on the head for taking it, but you don't graduate from Harvard or MIT or Michigan State or anywhere else. So I started writing editorials back in 2012 saying, look, we don't expect there to be a million people graduating from MIT, but there should be a way to accredit these courses if people take them and finish them. And so, you know, there's the Middle States Accrediting Body. There's the North Central States Accrediting Body. So we came up with the name Modern States almost as a joke or a pun on Middle States and North Central States, and we've just kept the name. And I started to try to get accreditation for these free MOOC courses and we went down to the Department of Ed. You were with me the day I went down to the Department of Ed and walked the halls and did my best and said, "Hey, I'm a private citizen. This is not going to change here. This was under the Obama administration. Yeah. This is never going to change." So came back and in 14 said there is a way to do it for the freshman courses, which is to create courses tied up to the CLEP exam program from College Board. And that's what we've done. We also offer advanced placement courses, but the CLEP is available to anyone of any age, any day of the week at 1,800 places around the world. And so an extremely useful tool that people just didn't know about or use.
And so, you know, it's fascinating. So there are 60,000 people taking one of your courses right now. And there's some great stories that I've heard about kids able to finish when they would not have able to finish otherwise. Talk a little bit about, there's a guy named Will.
Yeah, it's really inspiring because, you know, what's nice about this charity is you can see exactly who's being helped and basically calculate how much they're saving because every course they save is $1,000 or $2,000. So we started with a pilot program last summer, and the very first person to take one of our courses and pass an exam was a 17-year-old homeschooler in Washington State named William Rush. And he took a chemistry course from a Columbia professor online and passed it. And, you know, he was the first one, so I called him up personally, congratulated him. And I said, "Hey, William, do you plan to go to college?" He says, "No, I plan to be an electrician." So that's where his head was at last summer. Just last week, truthfully, I got a letter from his mom and dad. "You are invited to the graduation of William Rush from high school and from Clark College in Washington State." Because through us, not only did he finish his homeschooling, he got a year of free college from Modern States, and he went to his local college, Clark College in Washington State, got another year. So he now has a 2-year associate's degree at probably age 18 and is, you know, off and running. So that's one story.
That's amazing.
But there's so many. Let me give you a few other stories. Yeah, I find it kind of worthwhile doing this sort of thing. Another story I really love, and some of these are on our website. If you go to modernstates.org, you'll see some of these stories. There's a woman named Holly Sorrell, and she has a sick 5-year-old who's getting treated at the National Institute of Health. So every day she's in the waiting room at the National Institute of Health while her son's getting treatment, and she couldn't go to college. College, you know, would be wildly expensive given the circumstances she's under. And she's been completing courses in the waiting room of the National Institute of Health on her iPhone.
That's amazing.
And her goal is to become a nurse in the National Institute of Health system and help other families with kids, you know, maneuver the system. So that's a
fantastic.
That's a second story. A third story is, you know, the guy who wrote us it's freshman courses, but you don't have to be a freshman. So he had dropped out of school one credit short of graduating because he ran out of money. And he was able to take one of our courses, finish up, and graduate. Or another example there's someone who loves – he's a college student who loves classical music. And he wanted to get a classical music degree as well as a regular degree, but it would have taken 5 years, and he couldn't afford 5 years. So with Modern States, he got a year worth of courses done through us so that he can get his music degree along with his regular degree – And there's a video of him playing like this Rachmaninoff concerto at the end of the video. So it can be used, you know, it's being used by it can be used by high schools to help their high school kids finish with college credit. It can be used by DreamHack kids. There's no requirements. We get letters. There's a Korean guy in Saudi Arabia who's getting a job promotion at work because he got courses done with us. So it's for anyone in the world who has all you need is internet access, and we provide everything else for free.
So I know that you're not – this is not an agenda. You're not trying to change public policy anymore. You talked about going down the accreditation route and trying to figure out how do you accredit these courses because, by the way, Flash, it would make sense if you could get credit for courses that were already delivered by reputable accredited universities, but that's still something that Washington grapples with and they can't seem to get a Higher Education Act out anyway. But apart and aside from the fact that's not your agenda, please, if you don't mind, share with us, though, your commentary on what this says about policy. So here's the ability to take a reputable course. It's probably pretty like lean and mean also, not a lot of fluff, because why would you build a course with fluff? You know, you're getting people chemistry and English and science and math and history and everything like that. But what does this say about comparing it to the cost of education overall? Like if you can do this for a limited amount of money, right, even as an investment, and then students can get credit, what does this say about the state of education?
Well, I mean, you know, there's clearly room for innovation. And what we say, and we're very transparent about this, if someone can afford to go to Stanford University and be there physically for 4 years, that is a superior experience to anything that we can offer. So we're not trying to disrupt the existing system or say this is better than the existing system. We're trying to be an on-ramp into the existing system. And frankly, we've had tremendous support. All the big state university systems have been extremely supportive because – just to be clear, when you pass these exams, where you get the credit is, let's say you enter State University of New York, they say you have that course done under the State University of New York system or the Texas State University system. And so, you know, it's an on-ramp into those systems where you graduate quicker. So what it says is, though, is that there are, you know, there are ways to have innovation and, you know, sometimes as a private citizen, what I think is kind of cool about it, you know, people talk about free college, Bernie Sanders, whatever, but it's not really free college. It's taxpayer-funded college versus student-funded college, but they're both extremely expensive models. This is a model that doesn't need taxpayer money, doesn't need student money. It just uses the efficiency of the internet. There's an economy of scale today. If you put information on the internet, it's universally usable, and there's a fundamental economy of scale that we're just working off of. And the bottleneck, frankly, is not the courses. The courses are only $50,000 or $100,000 per course to make. The bottleneck is a test that is approved and has meaning
right
to the whoever looks at the test results. And what's great about the College Board system is it's over 50 years old, and it's already accepted for 50 years by 2,900 universities and well-known, you know, and well, it's already in their admissions catalogs. It would have been impossible for me or anyone else to go and convince 2,900 universities to adopt this
right
one for one. So the bottleneck really is the test because information can be distributed very inexpensively, you know, in today's world.
I'm talking to Steve Klinsky, the founder and CEO of Modern States Education Alliance and also the founder and CEO of New Mountain Capital. Steve, you founded a charter school, Sisulu Walker Charter School, in New York with Wyatt T. Walker. And so we're talking about Modern States, which really is an equity play, right? This is allowing people who might not have access for whatever reason, the mom with a poor sick child, the student in Washington, the rock and roll player who just couldn't
right
sputtered and couldn't
right
start up. We're hoping that happens at some point in time. You know what I'm talking about. But talk about equity, Wyatt T. Walker. I mean,
yeah,
tell us who he was and why that was so critical.
Right, and equity in the terms of fairness.
I
want to make sure
yes
Modern States is a not-for-profit.
Yes.
There's no equity in the
yeah
sense
yeah
of
yeah yeah
I
no money.
Equity
yeah
means
equity in terms of justice
we're
and fairness.
Equity in terms of justice. So Wyatt T. Walker, who just passed away very recently, was one of the great great figures of the last 80 years. He was a minister in Virginia who was one of the first civil rights leaders in the 50s. His original arrest was he walked into the library in Petersburg, Virginia in 1959 in the all-white section and asked to check out a book on Robert E. Lee, and they arrested him. So And then later, you know, he was about the same age as Martin Luther King. They were both young guys. Martin Luther King asked him to come over and help King. And so Walker was the first head of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He was Martin Luther King's chief of staff. And he was at the center of the Birmingham Civil Rights March. And he's actually pretty well known if you study the civil rights movement. He then in the midst, he was there for the I Have a Dream speech and the Nobel Prize. In the mid-60s, he went up to Harlem to be a minister in Harlem and was minister of a church called the Canaan Church on 116th Street in Harlem, as was one of the great ministers in the country. And, you know, he, besides being a wonderful minister and a civil rights leader, he was fighting for better housing. He was fighting against drugs in the neighborhood. He was doing all sorts of things. And his never-ending frustration, he will tell you, and it's in his writings, was the public education system in Harlem and other places just never got better. Decade after decade, it wasn't getting better. The students in, you know, who were in his church that he knew just couldn't get the education that the parents wanted and they wanted. So he was extremely frustrated and was one of the champions to pass the charter school law. He was also chairman of Al Sharpton's National Action Network. And, you know, so it was the civil rights ministers. People forget this now, which is a frustration to me. Mm-hmm. It was the civil rights leaders were at the forefront of the charter school movement.
That's right.
as a civil rights action. And so, I've been involved in education reform even before the charter movement started. And so I teamed up with him and we set up the first charter school in the state of New York, which was in the community center at the back of his church. Called the Sizulu. It was originally called the Sizulu School because Sizulu was Nelson Mandela's right-hand man and Wyatt Walker wanted to be called the Sizulu School. And then years later, we were able to get Walker's name put on. And so it's now at the Sizulu Walker School. And it's a wonderful school. It's still operating. And I was at another school just two nights ago. There's some great community schools that people forget all about because they're just under the radar. I was out in Yonkers, another school we helped start called the Charter School for Educational Excellence. It way outperforms the state, maybe double or triple the Yonkers scores started by Hispanic leaders from the Bronx and Yonkers. Incredible school. Owns its own real estate, you know, just a great, great school. And people just, lose sight of those type of schools.
Yeah, no, they do.
So many great schools.
And so noteworthy for our listeners that you really did not just help start it. I mean, you took time off a job and literally wrote the application.
Well I got very
that's amazing.
I'm on the back burner now. The politics are pretty rough in charter land. So I've retired and let younger, tougher people do the charter fight. But now in 99, I left my old make my career as a private equity guy. I left a firm called Forrest & Little, and I took about a year before I started New Mountain and really worked in Harlem and other towns to get the charter movement going in New York State and wrote the application and really worked kind of hands-on. And it was one of the great formative experiences of my own life as just far as broadening me out. And, so I'm very happy I did it. And there's wonderful leaders who are younger and more energetic and smarter and nicer and tougher
who continue
to do it. And I was just, at this anniversary dinner for the Yonkers School, and I can't praise them enough. But there's some great people in the movement.
It is pretty amazing. And I bet they actually – would like, and probably some of them have thought about this notion of even pairing what they're doing with modern states. I mean, having those college courses delivered to their kids.
Yeah, if you get to, I think the youngest person who's passed the college course with us is a 13-year-old. So you don't have to be high school age,
right.
But I mean, it's perfect whether you're a charter school, a traditional public school, and we are working with a bunch of traditional public school districts. You know, if you have those 12th graders in your school, and you would like them to finish with college. Credit when they finish high school, you can use our curriculum, our textbooks, our practice questions, our paying the test fees, and get your high school. Have the teacher work with them. Use a blended model of the teachers in the school and our curriculum. Save yourself having to buy other books and use the money that you're going to use on textbooks for other things, and finish that way. So we're working very actively with the leaders in New Orleans.
That's
on
great.
That. In Prince George's County and other places. So it's very good for high schoolers, whether it's a charter school or just a traditional public school.
Especially for a lot of at-risk students or students who are from homes that have never gone to college. This might be their first try getting used to the concept of a college course.
Well, that's another. Yeah, you know, it's also that's an interesting point. It is a confidence builder. So another letter I got, I can tell you these thank you letters because you asked that I should mention. Like a month ago, I got a letter from a father who wrote and said, unsolicited, he just wrote us, and said, I'm helping my kids get through these courses. And he said, I never went to college because I didn't think I would be able to do it. And he was in the military and then he came back and had a regular job. And as he's working with his kids, he's taking the courses himself and he's passing them and he's
totally
revved up and he has like six or eight courses done and now he's going to be going to regular college. He's shown to himself that he can handle it and he's obviously an extremely bright man and he just didn't have know how bright he was. So it is a confidence builder and it's also, let's say someone drops out after a semester. A lot of kids, you know, who aren't used to college go and then they kind of get homesick or they come back home to the neighborhood. They can use these courses to get back on track and catch up and go back again. So anyone can use these courses in any way they want. And it's just like a public library of college courses. And it's as logical as having a public library. That's all it is.
You know, there was a recent set of surveys that Strata Education Network actually hosted or sponsored. And they ask people, particularly adults who have not completed any post-secondary credentials. So there are 80 million adults, which is to me still staggering, that haven't completed any kind of post-secondary credential. And one of the comments that continues to come out from them as well as existing college goers is this relevance issue. They just didn't see how it'd be relevant. And so now they're out in the workforce or they're tempting me out in the workforce. It's much more clear what you need. And so to the point of the gentleman, the father you just described, the fact that now you can go shopping without a risk for a course that might be able to help some percentage of these 80 million who do want something to be able to advance themselves.
Well, that's exactly right. And if someone takes, you know, a half a course or learns some chemistry but not all of it, it's just it's great. It's like browsing a book in the bookstore and you learn some stuff and it doesn't – you know, because it's not like traditional college systems where you pay thousands of dollars and if you don't finish the semester, you're in debt for that semester. It's all free. So it's meant for sampling and people to use it however they want. And there is only – I think only 30% of all Americans adults get a four-year college degree. I mean, it's still a fraction.
So is there plans for a sophomore year for free and a junior year for free?
Well, you know, the truth is I don't know how to do it. I wouldn't be able to do it because everything that there's an exam for that gives credit, we have now prepared courses for. So every CLEP exam there is now a Modern States course at modernstates.org website. And we also have, I think, almost all the APs or all the APs. Beyond that, the problem is I would do 20 more courses if there were 20 more tests. And that's the bottleneck. And it's not just in traditional college. You know, one of the things I've said as I've talked to policymakers is, let's say there's a job credential for being running a medical desk in a doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
Anything where there's a clear exam, you can do the online curriculum once, pretty inexpensively, let everyone in the world use it. And if there was a test like a CPA exam that you could use it in vocational training.
Recognize industry standard, sure.
Yeah. And then you could also be paying the employer who hires the person to, you know, have them apprentice and help them learn the material on the job. And instead of paying a third-party trade school, you could pay the employer for giving the person a chance. But so the problem is the lack of exams that are credit-bearing exams. And you know, we kind of figured our way into the College Board system.
Right.
You were there, I think, the day when the light
like
bulb
the
went on and said,
like, wait, there's
wait a
CLEP.
Second, there's AP can only be for high schoolers in May, but CLEP, anybody can do any day of the week. And we said, can we do that? And we said, yeah, sure, why not? You know, so now we're doing it. So, and College Board's a huge supporter. So that's the shortages of the exams.
And the shortages of the exams and recognized exams, right?
That's exactly right. Because you don't want to just have your own. I don't want to have the Steve Klinsky exam and credential.
Right.
That means nothing. And there's lots of schools and lots of organizations trying to create their own exam. But you need something that is universally accepted, and that's where the shortage is.
Well, or you need to get everyone on the same track knowing it's about competency. So maybe the college itself can have an exam that says you're competent to become a sophomore, or you've done enough to become a junior? This is what I wonder.
No, absolutely. Anything where there's a competency exam. MCLEP is just a competency exam, but there was no way to learn the material before us.
Right.
Anything, if the United States or all the colleges decided, let's have Microeconomics 2 instead of Microeconomics 1 also have a test, we could prepare a course for that for 50 to 100 grand and be done.
That's fantastic.
You know, so it's not the courses. It's not that hard to produce an online course. There's thousands and thousands of them out there in the country. It's the exam that any critical mass will accept as being true.
So what's the goal for the year? Is there a numerical goal? Are you hoping a million kids get online?
Well,
are you just hoping anyone who wants to enjoy it?
My staff said, well, what's the goal, Steve? So I said a million students, but I didn't say how quickly.
Oh, wow.
I didn't say in a year. And I said, so I can have a million years to get to a million students. I didn't set the deadline. We're up to 60,000 users already. And the ones who've asked us for reimbursement for exams that we know have taken exams are about 3,000 people now. So at $1,000, that's 3 million. At 2,000, that's 6 million of savings we've already made for people. And other people may have taken it without asking us for reimbursement. And we're just getting the word out. Very few people even know we exist. So that's why I really appreciate being on your show.
Absolutely.
Is it's like if a public library was set up in town and no one ever heard of the library and no one knew where it was located. It's like, there it is. It's just available.
It's crazy.
And modernstates.org on the web, and all the questions are answered there. So we're getting, again, with guys like Jeb Bush going on Squawk Box and talking about it, and Wired Magazine wrote it up, and Chronicle of Higher Ed. So the word's slowly getting out, but it's still, 99.99% of people never heard of it. So we're just trying to get the word out that it exists.
Well, it's a great disruption in some ways to what we typically think about as college and how to get there, but just a tremendous innovation, a complement to what we offer out there. And boy, we really need this because there are so many people lacking in any kind of credential that need it for the modern workforce. So you are so fantastic to come on the show, Steve Klinsky. You've been listening to Reality Check with Jeannie Allen. I've been talking to the fantastic Steve Klinsky, Modern States Education Alliance. Again, that's modernstates.org. Please check it out. Freshman year for free. Send in your ideas. Share with us what else you want to hear about. And don't forget to subscribe to Reality Check that comes out every Monday. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much, Jeannie.